listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. On the last episode of 12 Gauge...
A burnt down building and a torched car. It's arson!
Hello?
Hey!
I'm gonna help finalize the report. We'll catch up with you guys, but you guys can figure out what to do with the car.
Swamp down here, right?
I think if the gators eat it, we're good.
Oh, the bug.
The bug. The bug is the most important thing, and we can deal with this vehicle later.
Gators gets close enough, takes a bite out of the arm, pulls it underwater.
Looks like we're good here. They got it all.
All right, yeah. Let's get out of here.
I told you that wasn't your scene.
Agreed. We took action into our own hands. Make up that report what you will. It's all typed up for your use. We're on another assignment. It's been a pleasure.
Bad bread, Florida. Siphon some out and cover the inside of the car.
I'm also going to scratch off any things.
Set, primed, and ready to go. Rather quickly, it is engulfed in flames.
Should we include it in the opening?
Well, I just started recording now. So okay. You can go ahead, give the context, and make sure you tell everyone why Justin is getting his last.
I will. So for the listening audience, Justin is, let me just look at the clock. He is roughly 51 minutes late to the session. And I think I speak for everyone when I say it's not only disrespectful to the table, but it's disrespectful to our head of the table here. And I think you owe him an apology.
I do apologize, everybody. I'm very sorry.
You said everybody.
And Joe. Joe, in particular, I apologize for...
Maintain that eye contact. Don't blink. Keep it going. What are you sorry for?
I apologize for being late during your session.
Yes.
God, you really struggled to open your eyes, don't you?
I did. I had to reopen my
eyes. He's already sleepy. I can tell.
I know. But anyway, what was missed before recording was me bringing some little gifts to the table. These gifts are... I don't know. The listening audience might know what these are. But I have wanted these since I was in high school when I saw a documentary about them. They're called Palomino Blackwing 602s. And these are described as the like Rolls-Royce, you know, creme de la creme of pencils. I'll read the description as I read to everyone else earlier. Blackwing pencils were used by award-winning creators throughout the 20th century. Despite a cult following, they fell victim to cost-cutting measures in the 1990s, and they were discontinued but not forgotten. Analog-minded devotees began paying as much as $40 for a single pencil. We acquired the brand in 2010 and brought Blackwing back for a growing culture of artists, musicians, and everyday people looking to unplug and live mindfully. So for those of you in the listening audience who don't know, we do take handwritten notes here. And for the first, 10 sessions, we were using these mechanical pencils that were awful and inspired me to finally pull trigger on these bad boys that I've wanted for a very, very long time. And I've been forgetting to bring them for many, many sessions now, but I brought them now, and everyone at the table has theirs freshly sharpened with a Palomino Blackwing pencil sharpener that I also purchased.
Half the pressure, twice the speed.
It's true. I'm very, very excited for these pencils, and I'm excited for you to try them with me. I know it sounds silly, but we take handwritten notes, and I think we should be only using the best.
That pencil sharpener looks crazy.
Oh. Enjoy.
Get that sharp. Get that up, yo. Justin doesn't even take handwritten. He can't
use
it.
Well, he can mark up his failure.
Oh, for your character sheet.
And they are handwritten. They're just digitally also written.
I would like to be the first and premier to tell you that these are a wonderful, thoughtful gift. And I thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. They were not $40 a pencil, thankfully, but they were not cheap. Easily the most expensive combo of pencil and pencil sharpener I've ever bought, but I think it's worth it, and I love you all.
Thank you very much.
I think you guys deserve it.
Me too. Also, much appreciated.
So, we have some bookkeeping stuff. Now, we have not played for, 2 months, guys. So, I have a list of bookkeeping stuff, and they are separated. They're separated into fun and not fun. So do you guys want to go over the fun bookkeeping stuff first or the not fun bookkeeping stuff first?
Lay it on me heavy.
Not fun.
Not fun. Anything else on that before we get to the fun stuff?
We have fun stuff. Let's fucking crack
on. We do have fun stuff.
Let's crack on.
So I hope that you're glad we did the not fun stuff first.
Yeah. Turn my headphones up real quick. There's no snare in my headphone.
Along with that, I don't know if you guys got a chance to look at the website, but our merchandise launched. We have 12-gauge specific merchandise.
Dude, I don't know if any of you have read them. The descriptions for the merch is great. Some of the funniest shit I've ever read in my life.
It reminds me of, like, Palace.
Even if you don't buy the shit, please go on the website and just read the descriptions for the merchandise. It is maybe the best 5 minutes you'll spend out of your day. They're hysterical.
It's like Palace, but funny.
We have had a couple of sales so far. $70 in sales. Ooh. Which next April will be donated and matched. We still got to take some time, figure out exactly how we're going to do that. But that's going to be the case there. Final fun announcement. The music.
Hi.
That is piercing your eardrums is made by Anthony. He has made some of the coolest fucking Delta Green music I've ever heard. Do you want to give the pitch for it? Kind of what you've been doing, where you can listen to it?
If you look me up on SoundCloud, that's where I post all my stuff. My name's Lost, 7OST. Definitely love making ambient tracks, and I'm just new into music. A lot of the sounds are created on Omnisphere 2 synthesizer. And just give it a listen if you have some time.
This particular album, Volume 1 for the Nasty Table, these songs are all killer.
Thank you.
They all very, very much fit the vibe. They are replacing the old music that we were listening to. Hopefully you make some more because...
Yeah, I'm already working on Volume 2.
If you make more music like this and it's half as good as fucking... Dude, I have to put the other one back on. Alligator Eats
Ants. I'm going to get Gator the... Ableton just put out a new product called the Move.
This song is fucking awesome.
So I love this song because if you hear all those animal noises in the background, that's a synthesizer, and I'm playing, like, the piano to make those bird noises come out and, like, all the different chirps and all that.
Very cool. Can I please have a recap of the last session?
Well, bro, I'll beat you the fuck up.
The Utah Jazz.
Jazz is a man-made invention.
All right. Jazz is a man-made invention. We did Thank God.
DJ, good job. We can play Delta Green.
That was nice.
Jesus Christ.
Hang on. Can we have a recap on how long that took?
That took probably at least 10
minutes.
There's
got to be more, though.
I think that was 10 minutes.
That's what we have right now.
This episode should open just on Jazz. Yeah. Let's play Delta Green.
Everybody.
That's got to be the intro.
Jazz!
Okay, now we can play Delta Green.
Okay. So, G-Cell, fresh off their latest arson, finds themselves watching a burning RAV4 on the edge of swampland, still feeling pangs of exhaustion from a sleepless night. You find yourselves in Bad Bread, Florida, 2 hours from Tampa. It's currently 10 o'clock a.m., and with the completion of your night at the Opera looming, what do you want to do? Remember, you guys are taking a plus 20% penalty to every single roll that you make because no one has slept yet. Fire on the RAV4 burns quietly.
We're kind of just standing around the RAV right now. We're not in the Kona.
Clippers would have been good. Rockets.
Dude, us not getting the Houston Rockets is crazy.
Where are we all just kind of standing around the fire, I imagine.
Yeah.
I give a huge...
A ways away. Oh, yeah. Probably like 30, 40 yards.
How do we start the... never mind. I give like a huge yawn and a stretch out almost like a cat. And I go, guys, I think we need to get some shut eye. This is getting bad. I'm starting to get blurry eyed.
We gotta blow town first. We gotta get out of here.
Alright. anybody else mind driving?
I'm good to drive.
Yeah. All right, let's hightail it out of here, and we can kind of recoup our thoughts and start writing this report.
Back to the Kona.
I was about to ask, don't we have two cars?
We had the Kona.
Not anymore.
We had two cars.
You had two cars.
Now we got four wheels.
Back to the Kona.
Yeah, back
everybody
to the Kona.
Piles in. Vinny gets in driver. Garfield, behind the wheel. Where are you guys heading?
Ooh. We're already in North Florida, right?
Yeah, 2 hours north of Tampa.
When it hits state lines. How far are we from state lines, I guess?
We're going to have to use an airport.
We have to go back to the post office.
We have to go back to the post office. We have to go back to the green box.
Which is in Tampa?
Yeah. Green box is in Tampa. You gotta go back to Tampa.
I head an hour south to like a nice town and we get to a motel.
Try to find a
Motel 63.
Basically try to find like a Motel 656 like somewhere between you guys and Tampa, like halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Easy enough. Put the car in gear. Get driving. An hour long drive. Any conversations that happen on this ride?
I rest my eyes.
I'd imagine most people sleep.
I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. I would figure. But eventually you do find a Motel 6492 room for the night. Easy enough.
How does that work when you're purchasing a motel room at like 10 o'clock in the morning? Because checkout's like 11.
It is really interesting.
I'd imagine motels don't adhere to a rule set like that.
Especially if you're paying in cash.
Motel 6,742 doesn't care.
A Motel 6,456,972 really does not like split hairs over it.
It's just. I was just curious.
So
I have green little things with dead dudes on it, bro. They're giving us the fucking room.
It's just four dudes getting a room 10 in the morning before anybody checks out.
Just hanging out.
Bachelor party gone wrong.
Paying in cash.
You guys are able to get a room.
Seen it 100 times.
1 hour north of Tampa. You guys check in. It's got 2 beds. What do you guys do?
I cuddle up with Johnny.
I actually lay my coat on the floor.
That's crazy.
Pass out as soon as he tries to cuddle up with me.
Cuddles up with you.
And that's how you score your own bed.
I'll hop in the other bed.
Me too.
Okay. So, are you guys sleeping?
I guess before I lay my head down and I just kind of look around and I ensure that the door is locked.
Yes.
Deadbolt
as well as the chain lock.
And then I just check the microwave one last time.
I was going to do that.
The microwave is empty.
Just, ooh. I run out to the car and grab the bugs and put them in the microwave.
Would not sicko. Be complete without it.
Old habits.
They die hard.
Fucking sick.
A duct-taped Corona bottle full of bugs entered into the microwave. Closed the door on the microwave. You guys are sleeping? All right. Now I'm going to say, is anyone setting an alarm?
I'm setting one on, like, vibrate under my pillow for, like, 2 hours. Just to, like, see what goes down. Hey, check my phone, see if anything's happening.
Okay. Everybody falls asleep. 2 hours pass. Your phone vibrates. Wake up. At this point, it's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Guess I'll walk outside.
Blurry vision, waking up, half asleep, couple errant steps. Take a step outside.
No, like, cop cars, no fucking blacked out TVs.
Roll alertness.
It's been a while since them dice were
79 on a 26.
79 on a 26. You don't notice anything. The sunlight is bright and you look at it for a moment. And you look down. Then you look back up. Look across the street. Look into the parking lot. And you notice your breath is like quickening. Mm-hmm. You swallow hard and you look back and back at the sun, back at the street, back at the sun. Breath is quickening and quickening. Back to the sun, back to the street. Your chest is pounding, and you look back up. The sun in the street, the sun in the street.
Start running back into the room.
Go inside, and you're panicking, and your heart is racing, and you can feel it, and it starts to hurt.
This
pang
jump on someone.
Hits back.
Jump on Vinny's bed.
Closest one would be the guy on the floor.
Yeah,
Johnny.
Fuck, I jump right on Johnny.
Your heart is pounding.
What the fuck?
Your chest is getting tight.
Call fucking ambulance.
I grab
my fucking chest.
I run him to the car. I start running him to the car.
Step up. Couple errant stumbles as you bring him outside towards the car. Your breath is happening very, very quickly. Roll first aid.
Anybody got an inhaler? I just kind of run around.
They're probably
asleep.
No, you guys are probably
fucking dead asleep. Yo! Anybody got an inhaler?
25 on an 80.
Both you guys hear that? 25 on an 80, you're having a heart attack.
Having a heart attack.
I look around for Gauze's medical bag.
Just quickly get up, look around.
Sorry, y'all, aspirin.
You remember
aspirin
somewhere in his car, in the Kona.
All right, so I'm going to get the keys.
We're already making our way down.
Grab the keys. We're going into combat, guys.
Did I wake up?
Yes.
Okay.
I yell, unlock the car door.
First action. Vinny, what are you doing?
I'm unlocking the car.
Step up, take the keys, unlock the car. That's your action. Back to Johnny.
I start opening up the back trunk towards his bag.
Open the trunk and you can see his medical bag there.
Gauze, where's it at?
I'm with him, right? Like, he's like fucking dragging me along.
Marcel, it is almost debilitating pain. I'm not going to have you take damage, but you are... This hurts really, really bad, and it's really, really tight. You have to take a knee.
Yeah, I'm just going to slump down.
I grab the bag, and I pull it towards him and start, like, opening it up for him.
Opening it up kind of frantically.
Yeah.
Gauze, what are you looking for?
Aspirin.
Aspirin, quickly putting through, and you pick up the aspirin. And you
get down here, guys.
In your hands for a second, and you look at it, and it's shiny in the sun in the street. You catch your breath. 3, 4 steady breaths. I would like to introduce you to your new disorder. Anxiety disorder.
Let's go.
Losing two or more sanity in a single roll will trigger a panic attack.
Jesus Christ.
In which all skills and stats and sand rolls are made at plus 20%.
Two or more. So two plus sand loss... Everything's at plus 20.
Until reasonably, and I'm going to give you the roleplay freedom to tell me when you come down, when you're able to ground yourself, when you're able to find that bearing again.
Until resolved. In quotes.
As a medical professional, you come away with this understanding that as it subsides, most likely a panic attack, an anxiety attack. Catch your breath, still winded, as you have the bottle of ibuprofen in your hands.
Just stretch, wipe my eyes out.
Are you all right?
Yeah, let's get back inside. Let's just fucking get back.
Jesus fucking Christ! I woke up from a nap for this. What are you all right, man? What the fuck?
Yeah, I'll be fine. I gotta go to sleep.
And I trudge back upstairs, moderately pissed off.
Galleon, what were you doing during that? Probably, like, in the doorway, I imagine.
I didn't really get a chance to get an action. I imagine by the time I got up, my action would have been to go over there.
Yeah, that's right.
It didn't really get to me, so I imagine at this point, yeah, I'm probably at the doorway, probably letting you come in and... What happened?
I'm just tired.
I just lay down, pissed off.
I'm just tired, I guess. I don't know. We'll be fine. We'll write the report. We'll...
Lay down. Come back to bed.
Yeah.
Come back to bed, darling. The monsters aren't real, darling.
It was just a bad dream, darling. I imagine I conk before I fucking even hit the pillow.
Before your head hits the pillow, you fall back asleep.
Before I fall asleep, I check the books.
Motioning over to the microwave, taking a few steps, opening it up, and the bugs are still in there. They haven't moved.
I'm sitting on the little chair that the motel gives you out front of your room.
Ah, the cuckold chair.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm smoking a cigarette.
Smoking a cigarette on the cuck chair. Does everyone go back to sleep at some point?
Yeah, as soon as I'm done opening the microwave, I just lay my head down and conk back out.
Another hour. 2, 3. First one to wake up would probably be Vinny. Vinny, you wake up. Take a look at your flip phone.
What time is it?
4:30. You feel well rested.
Everybody's still asleep?
Yeah.
Is there a breakfast place in walking distance?
Yes. Up the street, you saw a bagel shop.
I'm going to go walk and get everybody breakfast.
Gotcha. So you go out, walk up maybe a block or so, buy breakfast, some bagels. They got, like, I don't know what the Tampa version of bacon, egg, and cheese is, but breakfast sandwiches too.
I forgot we were in Tampa, fuck.
And they're selling them all day, so it's easy enough to get whatever you want to get. Donuts too.
Probably from yesterday.
No, pastries. Dog nuts, okay.
I'm in the bagel store disgusted at the fucking offerings.
But you do purchase an assortment.
Yes.
Make your way back, and probably as you open the door, I would say everyone else is kind of starting to come too. You guys wake up 4:30 p.m.
I give another huge cat stretch off the floor, and I imagine that my back slightly hurts. And I go, dude, are you all right?
Yeah, man. I mean, I just gonna go. I can't take a shower real quick. You guys might have to take a shower.
Dude, something? Do your thing. Just let's try not to do that again. All right?
Yeah. Imagine I take off my fucking sweat-drenched shirt, just hop in a absolutely cold shower and just
freezing cold shower, and you're in there by yourself and the water is flowing down the top of your head, dripping down, and you just kind of have like one hand up looking down, and you can feel it, and you can feel this cloud, and you can't see it, you can't visualize it, but it's somewhere in you and you know that it's there. And if you think about it too long, your heart starts to race a little bit more. You're able to suppress it, push it down. But it's there. It's always going to be there. What are you guys doing?
You think he's all right in there?
I think he's fine. I mean,
I didn't want to call the ambulance. I didn't need to.
He probably just needs fucking Valium like my mom.
You would have got him there faster than an ambulance anyway.
All right. Yeah, I didn't want to involve anybody.
Just keep an eye on him. I mean, we see something like this happen. I mean, I.
Hopefully he doesn't jump on me again.
Is there a mechanic for Xanax?
There is. Drug suppressants for mental disorders, correct?
He could probably, you know, get a script.
Oh, yeah, I could get Xanax.
Might not be the worst thing to carry around if he's... I mean, if he came out of it, that looked like a panic attack.
I think he knows enough about medicine to decide that for himself, though.
Yeah, and if... I mean, we could suggest he write himself a script or
he's
whatever the fuck. Yeah,
they get
anxiety meds to dogs these days.
He's gonna be eating dog Xanax. That's fucking dumb, dude.
It's the same Xanax.
I mean, as I'm
he's gonna be sitting there like Mitzi, bro. He's gonna be sitting there like
in dog bars.
Mary Janowitz's dog just fucking like all zanned out.
As I'm in the shower, with I'm trying doily. To remember if I fucking pack my gabapentin or not.
You got the G-pack. He's gonna be smacking G-pack. That's crazy.
He's got Xanax bars that look like milk bones.
I gotta wrap it in cheese before I take it.
All right, so just to kind of take a second away from this, peel back the curtain, this is our first disorder. This is the baseline for disorders. Typically, I will roll on a random table, unless there is one that really, really sticks out to me as fitting very, very well. Sometimes I'll handpick disorders for you guys. Sometimes I'll roll for them randomly. These disorders are crutches for you guys to help better roleplay. Anxiety disorder is one of the more straightforward ones. So basically, like how I explained to him, every time he loses two or more sanity, he's going to have an acute episode. So that means, depending on the disorder, you have a different acute episode. His acute episode is a panic attack. There are certain different disorders. Kleptomancy, you have the urge to steal things. Totemic compulsion, you have to keep a certain item on your person at all times. Paranoia, obsession, PTSD, fear of loud noises, claustrophobia, different things. There's a few different disorders. A lot of them work that way, where if you lose two or more sanity points, something happens. Other ones have different effects where it is you're, you know, constantly under this thing. If you don't do this, this happens. Pyromania was a big one I was thinking about, especially with all the thematics about burning things that has happened lately. I was thinking about maybe Pyromania. That one's a custom one that's not in the book, but I really like it where you have to set fires or else you will slowly whittle away on your willpower. You have to set fires.
Fire-oriented group.
But that's the baseline. Back. So I want to know right now, here and now, any questions about disorders? So yeah, that's disorders, guys. This is Delta Green. Now we're getting into Delta Green. This is what the game is about. Yes, you're trying to solve these crazy mysteries, but you have all these fucking in the way, you know, and then they're constantly going to be in the way. And when we get to the point where everyone has disorders, everyone has multiple disorders, which is going to happen if you guys stick with these characters, that's when the game gets interesting.
And these disorders, like, they're pervasive. It's not just like when you lose two fucking points. It's like, yeah, now I'm like fucking like an anxious.
Yes, and you should incorporate this into your character. Incorporate these things into your characters. Go ahead.
When did Mike Finn? Because I feel like in LFECU, he got it very early on. Like it was almost episode like.
It was
five.
After it was episode 10.
10, where he had that very sharp character shift.
Yeah.
It was very, very sharp.
So these are not just things that are happening in the game as a mechanic. This is a change to your character. This is a deep
what
change to your character.
What prompts you to strike me down?
In what case? To give you a disorder?
Yeah,
pass your breaking point.
Yeah, what's your sanity? Okay. Yeah.
So that's the point for breaking point. When you hit your breaking point, you get a disorder.
I felt like you were just like six deer's beep and you were just like fucking
yeah.
No. You were just fucking I fucking hate you. You got fucking diabetes now, you fucking
that's the whole thing with sanity is you want to mitigate that sanity loss so you don't get these disorders.
Okay.
There are mechanics as well on your vignettes where you can try to go to therapy to suppress these disorders too. Like there's a whole lot of stuff here where we're working around these disorders. So it's really interesting.
I'm also now thinking of like a fucking video game, like you open a chest in the corner and it's like, congratulations, you contracted diabetes type 2 mellitus.
Yo, I'll say because I want to get back into it, but I want to say this. I was going through a list of custom disorders. So one of the ways, like Delta Green doesn't really have a big following. It's not like Dungeons and Dragons where everyone has these custom stuff.
I've told people that no one's heard of this.
Nobody knows about
exactly.
So when people come up with, when people are trying to brainstorm for custom disorders, they'll normally send like neurological disorders like that you could probably fit in. You know, like ADHD isn't in the book, but you could probably write a disorder that fits into ADHD. One of them was fucking autism spectrum, and I thought it would be so fucking funny if one of you just gets
Adam
autism.
Adam Sandler ass fucking character.
You just get
contract autism.
My mama says.
I think we should investigate this, guys. You know, like, but yeah. So it is 4:30 in the Motel 6 Billion. What are you guys doing?
Getting dressed.
Yeah,
coming out of the shower, getting dressed.
I'm in my vagabond attire, I imagine, still.
Yeah.
I hop in the shower.
Hopping in the shower.
It's a warm shower. I'm not having a mental effort.
Fool thinks the Motel 6 Million has warm water.
That's crazy.
Lukewarm.
At fucking 4:30, bro. You're kidding.
It's lukewarm.
Who's got the keys?
I still have them.
Can I get the keys real quick?
There you go.
Thanks. And I go out and get my doctor bag.
Yep.
Go root through.
Yep.
Do I have gabapentin in here?
I would imagine. Bro, luck.
Or anything of that strain. That. Ooh. 63 on a 50.
63 on a 50.
No.
You do not want to reroll?
No.
Okay. You do not. No.
All right, close it back up and head back in.
What are you guys doing inside?
Did someone bring dog nuts?
I believe breakfast was provided.
Oh, yeah.
What does this breakfast look like? What are the chosses? The chosses, y'all's.
I got bagels from down the street. They're not the best, but I'm just hungry. I needed something.
Ugh, a Florida bagel?
Can't be good.
Was it at least an Einstein's?
I'm gonna try it.
It was a family-run bagel place.
I'm gonna try the Florida bagel. How is it?
flatter than you expected.
Is it like, is it dense?
Yeah, it's like thick. Like there's no aeration. There's no holes in it. It's not fluffy. It's dense.
I'm gonna take a bite and I'm gonna chuck it. Thanks, man, but these are terrible.
I went in there and they didn't even have everything bagels. They had them labeled as Italian bagels. What the fuck does that even mean?
I come out the shower and I'm used to airport food. So I immediately just start mowing out in the bagel.
that's actually a true story, by the way. I was in Colorado and they don't call them everything bagels. They call them Italian bagels.
Really?
Yeah. I was looking around, do you have everything bagels? And they were like, what? I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Italian bagels is what they call them?
I swear, bro.
There's some shit.
At least at that bagel store that I was at in Denver, they were not.
And you went to a legit bagel store?
The bagels were okay.
Huda calls them crazy bagels.
Crazy bagels, yes, I've heard that before.
That's what they call them at Huda.
But that's like a chain,
Huda.
Right? Or no. Oh, well, the fucking. Oh, I didn't know you were talking about that.
That's fucking Ishmael.
I thought
whatever.
You were saying a chain.
Ishmael's bagel spot.
Well, his shit's fire. He can call him whatever the fuck he wants.
Back in the motel room.
Yeah, I'm mowing out in a towel. And then I realize that my bag is still in the car, and I walk outside as a true Motel 6 billion and grab it in my bag from the car in my
with
towel.
With your towel on?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Easy enough.
Smoking a cig like a lady out front of the Motel 6.
Fit in perfect.
Are you hopping in next, or can I take a shower?
You can go ahead.
All right.
Take a shower.
Yeah, nothing interesting. I'm just going to shower.
Water is noticeably cooler.
Gotcha. Okay. Any other conversations that happen? And Vinny, do you want to take a shower?
Yeah, okay. I'll hop in after.
All right. So any conversations that happen during the shower cycle?
Small talk, but no, nothing significant, I would say.
Okay. Sitting around doing not much of anything at all. At this point, we're looking at 5 o'clock p.m. The four of you, freshly washed, cleaned. What do you guys want to do?
You guys want to sit down and start thinking about this report?
I was wondering if we should hit the green box before that record store closes.
We have time.
We've got an hour down there. I mean,
what time?
You think it closes?
The record store?
The record store might, but they're going to let us in.
I don't think he lived there.
Good point. I mean,
can I look up the hours?
There we go.
Yeah, you can just Google the hours. It looks like they're open until 8 o'clock.
I'm gonna call ahead.
Call?
Mm-hmm.
Bring, 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 bring. Bluegrass Records, this is Micah speaking. How can I help you?
Micah, this is Agent Stein. How are you?
I'm quite well. What can I help you with?
Me and the fellas, we're going to head down there shortly. Just wanted to make sure you'd be around so that you could let us in and, you know, we could, you know, head back there and return some stuff that we need to put back.
Yeah, put back from the records or something. Did you have something out on lease? Let me,
No. We don't need to get into specifics. I just wanted to make sure you'd be around within the next hour or so.
Yeah, we're open until 8 o'clock.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
Okay.
See you soon.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye. Click.
They're open until 8. It's like 5 now. It's probably...
You want to write this report for an hour or two, or start writing this, and then we'll head out?
Well, I can get started on the report in the car if you guys want me to kind of spearhead it.
Yeah, let's just
I don't mind doing that. Right. We can do some, you know, general notes and then, you know, make a finalized version later tonight, but I can at least get started.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, cool.
So, heading out of the Motel 6 Quadrillion, back to the Kona?
Back to the Kona, and I think I flip a coin and go, who's driving? Heads or tails?
Not me, I hop in the shotgun.
Tails.
Flip it. What's the land on?
Tails.
Shit, I'm driving.
Okay. What?
Dude, what the fuck just happened?
I wanted to make it quick. So I was like, all right, we're going to settle this driving
Why
thing.
Involve the coin? Didn't he call tails?
Yeah, so he would lose. Or so I'd be stuck driving.
Okay.
Wait, it was whoever won didn't have to drive?
Yeah, I guess so. That's usually how it goes, right?
I don't know. You called the shot.
I don't know, because everybody in the room said what after you made the decision based on the coin flip. So, no, I don't think that's how it usually
Agent
goes.
Agent Gonzo behind the wheel. So, where are you heading?
Back towards the record store.
Towards Tampa to Bluegrass Records. Okay. Making your way there. An hour is going to pass by. I want to know, what are you guys doing? Any conversations that happen?
I'd like to start the report and just kind of gauge you guys and what you think you should write down in tandem with what I'd like to write down.
Are you preparing this written?
I'm doing bullet points so that we can finalize a version later this evening.
Okay. All right. So if you guys want to talk out of character, I'm completely cool with that.
Did we have to provide a written report? Is the ultimate question I had.
Let's review.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to make sure.
So take some time, as much time as you guys want. Let me know what you guys are preparing on this drive.
Don't put the part in about Ravenna Michelle. I think that might go against involve anyone.
We don't need a written report. We just need to debrief.
Okay.
Then, so we'll just write up a debrief.
Yeah, we'll bullet point it and then burn the copy before we head out.
Yeah. So what the fuck are we putting in?
So let's... Do you want to do this in character or out of character? Ultimate question.
You guys can do it out of character or in character. It's completely up to you guys.
I've just been itching to use the pencil. So yeah. Let's...
Pencil point.
Yeah, let's go out of character. Let's follow that verbatim and then...
Objectives-wise?
Yep.
All right. All right. Objective one. Complete case handoff. Christina Perez. Complete.
Completed.
Number two, investigate murder-suicide of Thomas Meyer, his motives, and his knowledge of the unnatural.
Yep, complete.
What are his motives and knowledge of the unnatural? We should probably have that.
Let's give some notes on this. And I defer to the group if you agree. I would say knowledge of the unnatural would involve scent influence on a variety of small insects and arachnids.
Arachnid. A spider.
A hemomancer.
A hemomancer.
I forgot about that whole charade.
Right back
a
at
man.
It.
A man.
A cadaver.
That was like three episodes
a cadaver.
Long.
A body.
A pixie.
Hemomancer.
That one is my favorite. Hemomancer.
A lycanthrope.
A lycanthrope.
A werewolf.
Arachnid.
He starts laughing at
me. Arachnid.
All right, so complete. Knowledge of the unnatural would include
I guess Lang 30. The only thing that we don't have. And
what would you call what they were doing? It's like,
I wouldn't even say it was knowledge, more so accidental discovery of the unnatural.
It was very
unnatural.
Coincidental, because...
But he had knowledge that they had influence.
It was AI generated. Yeah. And we took the hard drives.
Hold on, you're not letting me talk. Just, what I'm getting at right now is his knowledge of the unnatural, as we understand it right now, is that this particular scent caused insects and arachnids to act in a way that was more human-like. They became intelligent. So would you call that like an animation?
A knowledge enhancement.
Hive mind almost? Hive mind almost?
Across, I don't know if like, it was hive mind. From
interspecies
what we,
hive mind? They were forming symbols and shit on the wall.
Yeah, but hive mind would imply that they were all thinking the same way. They were interacting the same way, but like...
It gave them hyper-intelligence. I think that's the only way could just word that.
Yeah, so it gave them unnatural intelligence and, I guess, instinct. Because they were acting in, like, ways that would... Like, a spider wouldn't interact with ants the way that it was.
It was almost militaristic.
I'm struggling to find the words to describe what he would have had knowledge of. Because we understand that he had knowledge of the fact that this scent could cause insects, arachnids... I would say unintelligent species to become intelligent.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah. But I don't think he he knew that intentionally. I think that was all an unintentional byproduct of Lang 33 that came from the AI in which we stole the hard drive.
Yeah, he even says in his first note when he first discovers it, he says, a thousand monkeys slamming their fists on typewriters finally churned out something useful. So very much so was like coincidental. It was
so what an did accident. I just say? It gave unintelligent species intelligence.
Yeah, hyperintelligence or
give
an intelligence buff.
Unintelligent.
Got my int buff. Yeah.
Species intelligence. All right. Secondary from that, we have the hard drive with the recipe. No one else should have at this point.
I mean, we have the login to the cloud regardless, so if we need to send in DG operatives or DG cybersecurity, I imagine they could also delete it.
I don't know if we have the pull to do that. Like, I think that was what we
needed to do. Do we just need to log into a secondary computer and just start deleting files?
That's the thing they'll just do.
I zoned out for a moment.
That's what's something that they'll just do?
That's what I think.
I zoned out for a moment. What's
if they have the logins, they can do that like nothing. But I do think it's worth a shot on our end, especially if we have
just
that access.
Just kind of last minute.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, just delete, start
we can do
shit.
It from anywhere, really.
Yeah, because we have the cloud.
Yeah.
We've just before we do make the statement, Joe, we have access to the cloud for all of... What's that called?
Fulvio.
You have Thomas Meyer's login.
So we can start just deleting shit as necessary from whatever computer because it's the cloud?
Maybe. You don't know. So we know that you have access
What we've put so far, Joe...
And just to really quickly say this, it's not a stretch to say that an advanced government agency would have access
that,
to...
That was what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. That's all we need to know.
So
kind of do whatever they want to do in that system.
Yeah. So what we have so far in a summation is objective 2 is complete. The scent Lang 33 had the potential to give unintelligent species intelligence. Or had the capability, I'd rather.
You just wanted to use that eraser, didn't you?
No.
I'm offended by your phrasing. I think ants are very intelligent. I think it just augmented that intelligence.
What?
His name's Ant.
That wasn't even where I was going with it, but...
That's very funny, though.
Yes.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's turbo mode time.
And arachnid.
Hit the turbo mode.
Like, you wouldn't call ants an intelligent species, correct?
No. Well, what are we judging intelligence on?
Oh, come on.
Can they do taxes? Oh. Can they commit genocides in Armenia?
See, this is why I wanted to discuss this. Thank you. I think the ability to crawl out of your nest and carry 60 times your body weight back to your fucking house.
Well,
pretty...
and let's get back to the point as to why these sessions that should only be one length, one long...
That's
are
why
now
I put,
taking five.
I put hyper intelligence there for a reason, because that would constitute a huge leap and bound.
If it pleases the court, I will change the verbiage to hyper intelligence.
Thank you.
Yeah. It does quite please the court, yes, yes.
The only reason.
My hands, ooh, they're so sticky.
It doth please the court quite profusely.
Arachnid.
These are really nice pencils.
I know. Yeah,
he enjoyed using that eraser.
I've been using it.
And Joe.
That's
if,
my name.
If we're talking about dice sponsors, a pencil sponsor is
oh my God,
so
could you imagine?
Cool.
Do we hide these
think,
from the
I
other
think a
group?
Pencil sponsor would be cool, but I really do want a dice sponsor. I want a dice sponsor
just
so
let
bad.
Me reach
Let's
out.
Just get the Costco sponsorship. We're Costco
you
guys.
Got, you got full reign to do what you want.
I will reach out to Palomino.
We're stealing the Costco sponsorship. We're Costco guys. Fuck those other
the
guys.
The nasty table joins the Costco guys.
All right, third
universe.
Objective. All right, read me the second objective again so
I
make sure
his motives.
Oh.
Our second objective, which was...
We constituted it as almost accidental.
Yeah, the motives were
madness.
Good
at first,
good intention.
And then it seems just to be to produce more and more of this scent and spread it.
Yeah.
After he had sort of broke and...
But we had his notes, his journal, where he said it finally generated something good that smelled good, and he was talking to his boss about identifying a target market, and...
Yeah.
I think this song is one of my favorites so far.
This
is Justin's song.
Yeah.
This is,
La Pilota.
La Pilota.
It's very vibey.
Alarm clock in it.
Yeah, I would... I mean, my motive to... would be just like the descent into madness from what he created.
That's literally what I just put. I said motives were good to create a good scent, drove him mad.
Yeah, and compelled to make more and more.
Because
he made like fucking what?
He did. It went to like
liters. We have the exact
liters. 5 liters?
At the end, he made 5. He made.
There was a correction.
There was, yeah. It's he made about 22,000 liters.
Yep. So I put.
No, it's been milliliters.
Yes.
5.5 or 2.2 milliliters.
So I put motives were good to create a good scent, drove him mad, compelled him to mass produce.
Yeah.
Is that the end of the second objective?
Yeah, he made 22 liters of it.
Yeah, 2,200 milliliters would be 2.2 liters.
At this point, we have all remaining amounts of this, correct? Because the rest were rest were consumed by the colony.
Or burned.
Yeah, we it can be assumed, yeah.
Okay.
To our knowledge.
Well, just to our knowledge. And then we don't even just put yes.
All trace amounts.
That's corporate jargon, baby. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Consumed.
All known amounts were consumed.
Yes, period.
Or obtained.
Or destroyed.
Or obtained, because we have the three, whatever, however many buggies.
You guys
left.
Also have a swatch of the car that contains the sample. Swatch of the fabric carpet, in the backseat.
Okay, so all trace amounts consumed or destroyed
and
slash
contained.
Obtained.
Or retained, yeah. That's
okay.
A good one.
Three.
Three was two. Collect or destroy any references or evidence of the unnatural use of extreme prejudice.
So we'll put that in three.
As well as his computer being destroyed, his hard drive being destroyed, security tapes being destroyed. Yeah.
So... now we need to get back into this. Do I still have this hard drive?
Yeah, so I actually have compiled a list of evidence that you guys have in your belonging that I know of. Everything that I know of is Meyer's note and notebook from his place of work.
Yes.
The components of the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
A swatch from the car that contains samples of Lang 33. The formula for Lang 33, as well as any kind of information regarding the synthesization that Thomas Meyer undertook. Bugs in the Corona bottle, the green box key, which you have, which I'm just considering evidence, various hard drives include...
No. You have it in your notes.
Including Thomas Meyer's computer, as well as the security footage.
Oh, brother.
Files from Thomas Meyer's computer, as well as Meyer's journal. And that's all I have.
Okay. When you say files of Thomas Meyer's computers, can you go, like, what does that constitute? I imagine
you
that
you failed
that...
the computer science role, so you weren't able to
remember what's for files we took.
Yeah. Oh, add into evidence? The bugs.
Yeah, the Corona bottle. The Corona bottle.
Oh, you had that in there?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
You got that bug in a cup.
So three was there. We have it. We have actually more than was requested.
Yeah.
What's four?
Four is prevent... and suppress any leaks regarding the program or natural elements.
I mean, we kind of burned the fucking place down.
I think the only leak would have been Janice Brown.
Disposed of.
And she's ashes.
Ravenna Michelle's is going to prison for life.
Yeah.
What do you? Do you have a question?
Yes.
Yeah. You down? Hey. Hold on. Wait. The sexy one with the mustache.
Me?
Yeah.
Who?
What
me?
Do you have to say?
Oh my.
Possible leak could maybe be the corpse of a huge fucking ant that was fed to gators, perhaps. You have no confirmation that they were completely eaten in any way, shape, or
that's
form.
That's fine, and just the only confirmation that the organization is going to get from us is going to be that all witnesses and evidence were handled.
That's fine. I'm just... if we're listing off...
and the corpse was destroyed...
if we're listing off things like that, that would be one thing.
Can you write a one-shot on a super gator?
And if you...
I'm already writing it.
If you, 1 year from now, want to have the super gator step on the candy store in Tampa, I invite you.
Godzilla has come.
Can we somebody get the bazooka? The Super Gator's gonna step on the candy store.
Super Gator volcano, tornado, whatever it's gonna
Super
be.
Gator Nader. Nader.
Super Gator Nader.
Florida Man combats Super Gator with bare hands.
Oh my god, and you guys all just play as various Florida men.
Yeah. Oh my god.
Dude, F Cell.
That'd be so good. It's like a fucking, like. It's like an ant. Gator hybrid, just fucking giant, big of a fucking two-story house.
And you guys just have like jumper cables and like.
We've written this, Joe. We've already written this story for you. What is stopping this?
Yeah. All right,
corpse of giant ant recovered, destroyed.
Destroyed, yeah. For the official debrief, destroyed.
Yes. Is that the end of three?
Oh, that was, four.
Oh, that was four.
Jesus. Number one, save lives as many as possible. I think we saved Janice Brown's life.
I'm just going to say completed.
Yeah.
Short and sweet. I like it.
I would also put in the four column, the building, which was infested with these, destroyed.
Yes.
As well as the found colony.
Correct, yeah.
So, infested building.
I can safely say we were net positive.
I mean, shit, it took a while. Shit would have got fucked.
Look, two went down, four got out. That's a net gain of two.
Yeah.
Along with colony, I put
that's
that
math.
Yeah. Objective five completed.
Yeah, and how many ants did we take
secondary
out?
Secondary one, yeah. Secondary two is to prepare a verbal report on whether converting Captain Perez or any Fulvio innate employee.
I would say Perez, negative.
I would just, like, literally my report would be bitch.
And I would say Samantha Clemens.
Possible. Worth, yeah. Worthy of further
investigation.
Probe.
Yep. Yeah.
Vetting.
Yeah, yeah, vetting.
Clemens. Worthy of vetting.
I'm just like three bullet points. Why?
Secretive. Assertive.
How did we gain that information from Clemens? What was our premise?
It was just a general interview.
Why?
We were investigating the
phone conversation, or was
no? We were there
in person. Yeah.
So three bullet points as to why.
Yeah.
Let's try and make these short and sweet. So one, incentive to keep quiet with matters relating to
yeah, very much so. Yeah, I mean there is some fucking dirt on her if she yeah.
Incentive to remain quiet.
I don't want to say a high sense of self-interest, but that I did get that from
yeah, that is. That's, that is a good
but point. I don't know if that's a good point or
I was,
not. It's maybe that's worthy of further vetting.
Access to valuable resources, too. I mean, she has control of so many labs and you know nooks and crannies in there.
Access to resources is a pool.
Yeah.
Lab... tech, etc. And then third, I would put extremely helpful in investigation with little pushback.
Yeah.
How do we simplify that?
Willing to help.
Understanding of situation. High situational awareness.
I want to put something about the whole corporate secrets thing. I don't know how to like.
Let me pose this question. This is to my players out of character. What would make a good Delta Green friendly? In a vacuum.
Secretive yet informative.
Useful, in some way.
Knowledgeable in their field.
Yeah. Yeah. Extremely
resourceful. Knowledgeable.
And blackmailable.
That's what yes. I was going to say. So we're talking about these positive things that they can do. Gray area, right? What are these gray area things that really help build a friendly? If they're blackmailable, if they're easily manipulative or easily manipulatable, like things like that too. You got to think about too.
High value targets.
Yeah.
So I put blackmailable, high stakes, lot to lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can be honest in the debrief with that. Like,
yeah, afterwards, yeah.
This is an important figure in the city of Tampa. runs a very successful business, has access to valuable resources, being that she's the CEO of a massive lab.
Is that the barbarian that you gave us last time?
And was friendly to the investigation.
Fucking slammed this.
I know.
Like, this shit is delicious.
17%.
Dude, do you wear dress shoes to work?
Yeah, every day.
Dude, my fucking feet hurt.
I got some good ones. I got inserts. I got gel inserts. I got, you know, special compression socks for it. So, if you ever need like a plug on dress shoes, I got some good ones that are really, really comfortable all the time.
I fucking hate dress shoes. I wear Vans to work every day, and I'm supposed to wear dress shoes.
No, yeah, I love my dress shoes just because they look good. I always got to look good for when I meet with people, but
Turbo.
They're comfy too.
Turbo.
I have disrespected the business casual rule and said, fuck this, I'm doing what I want.
You are not part of the team.
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Confident?
Yeah.
Confident all.
Okay. So,
I'd say that probably took an hour.
I would say so too. About an hour goes by as you guys are driving back to Tampa. You hit the city limits. Enter in. At this point, we're looking at about, say like 6 o'clock. Maybe later, maybe like 6:15. You guys hit the main streets. Hit a straightaway. 4 blocks ahead is Bluegrass Records. Continue on. Street lights, cars passing by, people walking on the side of the road, and eventually you see it. Where this opera began with a simple sign hanging out, ornate, reading Bluegrass Records. Glass window display, you can look in and see the familiar rows of records. You can even see now through the window behind the counter an older man. Looks like he's sorting through the till. What do you guys do?
I start to roll up towards the, I mentioned there's like a fire exit or something kind of local, and park closest to that.
Yeah, it's easy enough to park, like, between where this building backs up to another one, towards an alleyway, off to the side. It's not paid parking, so it's easy enough to find a spot.
So what all do we take out of here we gotta put back in?
Whatever we took from the green box, we gotta return.
How much cash do we have left? I'd like to change the total.
I would say the original thing said $2,000. I'd say with a fair amount of confidence that you guys probably have spent $600 between the motel rooms and any kind of equipment that you guys have purchased. So looking at about $1,400.
We just leave the cash in here and call it.
Yeah.
Want to cross off the total on that sheet, change it to $1,400.
Yeah, it works for me.
But everyone's got a little bit, so fork it up. Yeah. Is anybody holding on to cash?
Yeah, that's going to be my question. Is anyone gonna hold out?
I'm confused. 100. What are we doing? We're reporting.
So, originally when you guys went into the green box, there were $2,000 worth of cash that you guys took. Everyone was given $500. So the question is whether or not, because at this point, Pierce is asking for it back to put back in the green box, anything that was unspent.
Well.
Are you holding on to it? That's the question.
My father taught me if someone gives you $2,000 to run a business, you spend $2,000. I'm keeping that money.
Yeah, I keep 100, 150.
So you get back. I don't think you spent a dime.
No, I'm cheapskate.
I will say,
there was
a car rental part of this, and I don't know if we were there to see whether or not you forked up money anyway.
I think you did.
Yeah, I feel like we would have had to.
And regardless, they don't know how much you forked up for the car rental.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's no. Listen, guys, you know. They gave us a budget. We don't want to reduce that budget. I don't want to open the box next mission and there's only $500 because, you know, they're going to look at this mission and say they only spent $500, so next mission they're only going to need $500. I want $2,000 next time. Yeah, fuck it. I want $4,000.
Look,
they put on the note if it was needed, you could take it. I'm trying to do right by the next party.
I don't remember them sending me a paycheck for the last thing we did, so I'm taking a little extra for myself.
Listen, you do what you want. I'm just saying, I don't think it's a big
guys,
deal.
Guys, don't be shitty. There's going to be another...
Shitty.
There's going to be another group it's of guys job. Down here who might need some cash to make things all right, happen.
So let's chalk it up to a score. You guys killed an old lady, and I stole $500.
You burned down a restaurant.
I'm just saying.
Guys, we're all here for the program. I don't see anything wrong with supporting the others in the program. I'm just putting the money back that we didn't spend, because someone else might need it.
Hey, what if someone else is down here and they need money and they can't leave? They can't leave the bus. They need to go to the bus or something like that.
I'm not going
to
press you guys. I just think it's the right thing to do. It is what it is.
All right.
So, man, it's got to eat. I'm taking this.
All right. So you're giving me your cash. I'm putting what's left of mine.
All right. So between the two of you guys, you probably are able to fork up $700 between the motel rooms and all that kind of stuff.
All right. So I'm going to keep that. I take it. I put it in my pocket. We haven't walked in yet. And then I defer to the group as to when we walk in.
So, what are you guys doing?
We took a shotgun.
You guys took out the shotgun shells, of which none were fired.
Do we leave the bug evidence in the green box, or are we taking it with us to Adam?
The knives were taken as well. Stiletto and a Bowie, which I believe are both in your possession.
Yeah, I have both.
Yeah.
So what do you guys want to do with the evidence, though? I mean, we got to return the ship, but...
We keep that with us. They didn't say to leave anything here.
Yeah, I say we include it in our debrief. I would imagine they're going to want to look into this a little bit.
Throw it to Adam? All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Grab the shotgun. Grab... I guess really it, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say...
The suits?
We grab everything?
Do we have our clothes?
Yeah, the changes of clothes, but also for the sake of maybe, like, anything that I forgot or anyone else forgot... Anything that you guys are taking out of here or have taken out of here, you guys are returning.
Yeah. Fair? I don't think we really used anything that we took out of here, per se.
Not that's, like, notable or, like, quick to come up on my mind.
Yeah. I can 100% say there's nothing that I know that's in my possession that I'm, like, holding on to from the green box.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
All right.
And if it is, it's in the trunk of the fucking RAV.
So, making your way back into Bluegrass?
Yeah.
Okay. Walking in, Micah looks up as you enter, just kind of like gives you like a knowing look, goes back to his till, looks like he's counting out bills. What do you guys do?
I nod to him and just start walking towards the green box.
Yeah, back into the back room. You can see those shelves and boxes are stacked up to cover up that hidden door.
Anything new since I last saw you, Micah?
No, there ain't been nothing in, but... I appreciate your patronage nonetheless.
Of course.
I just walk by.
Yeah, straight in.
Start opening up the door to get back there.
Moving the shelves, moving the boxes, open up the door. It's still unlocked. You have the key in your possession. You open it up, step inside. It's the same as you left it. You don't notice anything like glaring immediately that is, you know, out of place or changed in any way since the last time you've been in here.
I still kind of take inventory of the area, just kind of walk around, make sure that nothing looks out of the ordinary.
Take a few minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, kind of soaking it in.
Yeah.
What's everyone else doing?
I'm going to go right to the picture frame.
Yep.
I'm going to put the cash back.
Yeah. $720.
And then after that, I want to grab the paper that we found with the symbols on it. So can I see that?
Yeah, yeah. So it is, it's in that case, and you open it up and you can see the five hands sitting in there, as well as the Beverly Hills Guwawa case.
So I'm going to do this in real time.
He wants to use that pencil.
You said 728.
720.
720. So I just updated the sheet.
Mm-hmm. Amending the note to say $720 in the painting. If anyone needs it, Sowie.
Oh, and then the two knives I'm going to toss over to you. Say, I don't really know where you got these, but...
Yeah, I start looking for where they belong.
Gonzo, as you're taking your rounds, you don't notice anything different at all. It seems untouched. That shelf that's off to the right side that has the finger in the bottle and the different clay pots and all that kind of stuff, the knives.
Was there anything of interest that... commercial interest that I might find while I'm walking through there?
Commercial interest... In what regard?
Resale value. Pawn shop worthy.
Oh my gosh, the whole box of Glenfiddich whiskey.
The being as though Justin Justin doesn't know anything about this, does he? Does
Johnny Walker understands that it is a high value whiskey? Absolutely. Additionally, if you're to talk about resale value, there is sitting upon the shelf a M1 Garand, which seems to have had some action during World War II. Of which Pierce is actively trying to avoid putting his gaze on.
Johnny looks at the bottle. Was it open?
Multiple bottles.
Oh.
It is a box full of 12.
Was there any open bottles?
No.
He grabs two.
Two bottles of whiskey.
Hey, send me that paper.
I see him take the bottles. Like, is he like
we're in the green room?
Got it in his hands. Yeah, you guys are in the green box.
Yeah, I'm actively asking for the paper right now.
And the whiskey's just sitting in the green room?
It is in a box marked evidence.
Right in the paper, yeah.
Multiple bottles of Glenfiddich whiskey.
Yo, I wouldn't drink that if I were you.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. I wouldn't drink any of that.
And I'm not talking about like from a you shouldn't steal that perspective. No, listen. That says evidence. I know what you're thinking, but I'm thinking that that's not whiskey in that bottle.
I crack one open. Smell it.
Seal comes open. Bring it up to your face.
Nothing weird about the seal?
That's whiskey. No, nothing weird about the seal.
Close it back up. It's like that. I imagine it's that cork. Is it a cork with that crack on it? Yeah. I cork it back up and what the fuck are they going to know about it? It's just some booze.
I'm just saying, you might die.
I'll take that risk. Shove the bottle in. Did I bring a bag with me? No, I kind of leave him closest to the door.
Listen, I don't really care.
Two bottles.
I don't really care what he does, because at the end of the day, every man is their own.
Are we though? I mean, everything he does is gonna come back on us. We were all here.
I didn't see him take it at the time.
Look, I noted it, guys. If you got something to say, say it.
You noted it?
Used it for the
fire. That's even fucking worse.
Used for the fire. Whiskey created some of the fire. What the fuck is not going to pin it on us? Delta Green is Delta Green.
I know you. I know you guys.
It's fucked up.
It's against what you believe in. I'm just saying, I don't think it's worth.
I don't give a fuck what I believe. I don't want to get in fucking trouble for him taking two bottles of whiskey because we can get a little drunk.
Pin it on me. I don't give a shit.
It's a fucking $100.
I've seen.
He's gonna risk
this
shit for $100.
Yeah, I think he's crazy too, but I'm not gonna fight him about it.
I have to know what is Pierce's visual. What are you looking like during all of this? I need to know.
Yeah, we're shouting across the green box,
please.
There is a noticeable silence and reservation.
Look. Why don't you put those down?
Yeah, I'll put them down by the door.
No, listen to me. And there's $700 more over there. Just go take $200 more and buy some on your own.
If you fuck off and leave right now, I'll buy you two bottles. I don't give a shit. I'll buy you two bottles of fucking, what is it, Glenfiddich?
Look, I gotta make a paycheck. I got shit I gotta buy.
The fuck?
You're just being stupid though. Like,
you just
there's
want
just
to
more
steal?
Money there.
Look, all right, if you say so.
Just take put those down because those are tracked, and just take the money instead.
I'm seeing what you're saying, and I cross. I go back, and I still keep the bottles by the door.
It's better. It's better than him taking the bottles.
It is. Fuck. Whatever. Let's get the fuck out of here before Sticky Fingers gets more. Fuck, you're rubbing off on him. Is what it is.
I steal when it can't come back on me.
Where'd you put the
maybe you should teach
dollar
that.
Note out here?
Hey. Not everybody learns fast.
No. He's probably gonna learn hard.
and it's not going to come back on me?
No, it's not. I wouldn't let that happen.
Are you going into the painting and taking another $200?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know where the fuck it's noted on here. Oh, there it is.
Cross it out right. Hungry.
I'm going to start walking back out towards the car.
I'm leaving it at 500, so it's a clean number.
I did want to...
And you're taking $220
out
of there?
Yeah, service fee.
I did want to see if there was a copy of Creedence Clearwater Revival, an album.
CCR, just like any CCR album?
Greatest Hits Collection with Born on the Bayou on it.
All right, we'll jump to that, but I just want to... Anything else in the green box?
No. But I don't sign my name saying service fee. I just put service fee on there.
Okay. Take $220 out of the painting, leave it back there. You make, well, Marcel Gauls makes his way out first, and then Vinny Garfield, I imagine you make your way out second, and then Johnny Gonzo, you leave third.
No, I hang by the door.
Hang by the door next to the two bottles of Glenfiddich whiskey. Galleon, you're still in there.
I look over at him. And I walk out.
Walk out. Gonzo, you're the last one in there.
I just kind of hang by the door. Can I hear cars driving by from the outside of the door?
Maybe intermittent, like every like 15 or so seconds.
Yeah, I kind of hang out there and wait until I start hearing the door shut on our car door because we're relatively close to it.
It's going to take some time, but yeah, I imagine that there's things that people want to do the record shop, such as what Garfield said, but Gauls, you're going straight to the car?
No.
No?
As soon as I walk past Milt, I want like do a little double take, turn around, look at him.
His name's Micah.
Micah? Do we smell? Did you smell us coming in? Do we smell anything?
Don't believe so, no.
Thank you. I just fucking
make your way right out the front door.
Halfway through.
Thank you. Okay. Garfield, back in looking for CCR albums. It's going to take you a little bit of time. You begin going through the process. Galleon, you come out and you see Gauls making his way out. Micah off behind. He's still counting the till. Looks like Garfield is perusing through records. What are you doing?
I'm going to walk over to Micah.
Yeah. He looks up. You can see him. He's got gray hair, headband on. He looks up.
Probably won't hear it from all the guys who come through here, but... Thank you for what you do. And thank you for sharing your love with me. And I'm going to walk out.
Roll alertness.
Who has the keys to the car while he's doing that?
I imagine Gauze.
Okay.
Who drove? You drove.
So I have the keys to the car.
Yeah.
While that's going out, I thought somebody else did. I just walk out and open the car door and put the bottles in a bag.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, what the fuck?
You are jumping.
Yeah, yeah.
He's jaywalking. Alertness?
It was a fail. Oh, God, sorry.
It was a fail. It was a 95 on a 43.
95 on a 43. After you say that to Micah, you make your way out. Okay.
Sorry.
What are you doing?
You
got this sickness in you, man. You jumped too quick.
I thought about something, and I was like, wait, who's the keys to the
moment
car?
By moment by moment. Action by action by action.
You're the last one here.
What are you doing?
I pat my hands on my pockets.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh shit.
You have the keys.
I have the keys. I crack open the front door, grab the bottles, look around, see if anybody's outside. Did I beat anybody out there?
No, not out front. So you basically have to go through the guts of the record shop.
Oh, I thought I was by the door to like an exit. Okay. No. Then I grab the bottles and start making my way towards like a side exit.
Just in your hands? There's no side exit. There's one exit, which is straight out the front.
Oh, yeah. I'm making my way.
Okay. Are you closing the door, locking the door? What are you doing? You have the key to this door.
I close it and lock it.
Close the door.
And then I put the bottles down and I start putting the shit back up.
Okay. Start moving the shelf, moving the boxes, two bottles of Glenfiddich whiskey.
And everything look in order?
Seems to be.
I'd take a nod back at Milton.
His name is Micah. I don't know where Milton came from.
Fuck the hurricane in fucking Florida.
Stop with this.
I take a look at Micah and I go, I just give him a nod, grab the bottles and start making my way towards the front door.
Garfield, roll alertness.
74 on 50.
You find a CCR album, greatest hits, pick it up, look at it. Looks good, in good condition. Gonzo, you make your way out the front door.
I kind of twiddle both the bottles in my hand. I imagine they're like the liters or the heavy bottles. Yeah. Kind of shuffle again for the keys.
Find them.
Grab them and unlock the car door and start making my way towards my bag.
Okay. It's not hard for Gauze or Galleon, who are just standing by the car, see Gonzo come out with the two bottles of whiskey in there. Garfield, back inside.
I purchased the record with cash.
Purchased the record with cash. Mike is happy enough to check you out, and he picks it up, and he's got it in his hands.
How much was it?
$17.
I just give him two 20s, and then...
Two 20s, and he's, like, starting to count out the change.
I'm like, nah, you can keep it.
Thank you. It's a good album.
It's a great album. Thank you. And then I'm going to proceed back into the green room.
Back to the green box?
Yeah.
So you make your way back into the back
door?
Am
I free to assume there's a writing utensil in the green room?
There,
so
I
let's,
locked the door.
Yeah, he stacked the boxes up and moved the shelves. You come back in there and it's completely closed off.
I just look at I'm like, hey, do you have a key to get back there?
I believe your buddy outside has it.
I just forgot to put something in. I can go get it off of him, but you don't have a key. Just let me back in real quick.
Oh, he's got the key.
All right, thanks. I'll go out and ask him for it.
Go outside. Gonzo, you're just at the car, opening up the trunk, going to your bag.
Yo, you got the key, bud? I just wanted to throw this in there.
Yeah, and I tossed it to him.
Okay, got the key. Go back in, move the boxes, move the shelf, open up the door, step inside.
There's a writing utensil somewhere?
You can see off to the side where the Pelican cases are set up, both with the shotgun that you guys borrowed and put back, as well as with the hands and the Beverly Hills Guava case.
On the inside cover, I assume there's a track list. I'm going to circle Born on the Bayou.
Okay.
And then...
There's a Sharpie in there, yep.
Yeah, I circle that in Sharpie, and then just down bottom, I write, I'm sorry about the Gator.
Sorry about the Gator, and where do you put this record?
In with the collective. Like, wherever Beverly Guawa's at.
Just put it, like, right on top of the Pelican case. Lock it up. Step outside. Close the door.
Mm-hmm.
Lock it up.
Yep.
Move all the stuff back.
Yeah, move all the stuff back and just say have a good night to Micah.
Milton.
Not Milton. No, it's not Milton. You saw it in my eyes, didn't you? I was like, don't call him Milton.
Tando started this Milton escapade.
He gives you a nod as you head back out. Take a program point as we jump back to these guys. So... Gonzo comes out with these bottles of whiskey. It's not hard for you guys to see as he tries to stuff them in his bag.
So did you lock up the green box?
Yeah, I took care of everything.
As Garfield comes out to finish that sentence.
Well,
I threw it to Garfield, so whatever he did, he did.
You may as well open it back up because we're putting those fucking bottles back in there.
What the fuck for, man? Let me just have a drink.
No. Fuck you.
Why?
Why the fuck are you taking two bottles of whiskey? It's not even that fucking expensive. You're a fucking pilot.
Let me just have my shit, man.
No.
We gave you enough fucking money, dude. We're not getting fucking logged down for two bottles of whiskey. Go buy some. Three against one. If you really want to do this, let's do this.
Whatever, guys. This is some fucking bullshit. And I begrudgingly just kind of walk my way towards Micah and just hand the bottles to him.
Two bottles on the counter, and he kind of like looks at them and looks back up at you.
Put these back for me if you don't mind.
I need the key.
And I walk back out and grab the key from Garf.
Gonzo comes back outside and
begrudgingly give me the key.
I just go in and do it for him. Even trust him.
Step inside, pushing past Gonzo, back to Micah, and the two bottles of Glenfiddich whiskey are sitting there.
And I'm fucking taking the shelf apart again. I'm like, God fucking damn it.
Pushing past him. Do you grab the whiskey?
Yeah.
Grab the whiskey bottles, and Micah kind of like makes like a, almost like a jump as they clink together and you push them back.
And I'm just like, sorry, buddy has sticky fingers. I got to put these back.
Move the shelf, move the boxes, unlock the door, step inside.
put them back in the bottle and or in the box, and then I seal the box back up and
yep.
I actually hide it.
Push it like under some shelving there and push it back.
Yeah, and fucking put it in a different spot, and then I just I'm like, all right, we're leaving for real this time. Well, I've already I'm put the shelf back and
lock the door, put the shelf back, put the boxes back, yep.
And then I'm yo Milt, have a good fucking night.
Micah.
I know it's Micah. I said it on purpose.
You got that key?
Oh, here you go, buddy.
Give him the key and he puts it in his
pocket. Alright, we're going for real this time. I'm sorry to fucking keep coming in and out of here.
God bless. You are not the worst patrons I have had.
I am very happy to hear that. Hey, I hope we see you again sometime.
Hey, man. Better dead than red.
That's
he
right.
He gives you a salute. Step outside.
Yeah.
Step back outside. The four of you outside of the Kona. What do you guys do?
I just hop in the back seat and just am absolutely scowl on my face like fucking no whiskey.
I hop in the front seat.
Passenger, oh, shotgun. Okay.
Throw my keys on the center console.
I'm jumping in the driver's seat. I'm not sitting in the back.
Okay. So, Gauze in the driver's seat. Where are you heading?
FBI headquarters.
FBI headquarters.
5525 West Gray Street, Tampa, Florida.
On your way to the FBI headquarters in Tampa Bay, G-Cell finds themselves solidifying themselves in the end of their opera, returning all the items to the green box as necessary, writing up a preliminary report, and preparing themselves to get done with this. That's where we're going to pick up next session.
Thank you for listening to this installment of 12 Gauge, a Nasty Table production.